Welcome to Redeemer, episode 18, Something's Different.
Hello and welcome to Redeemer. This is the official podcast of the Marian Servants of the Redeemer. My name is Javier Plume. And joining me, as always, is Adam Novotny, director of the Marian Servants of the Redeemer. Adam, what's up?
Good evening, sir.
Nice to hear your voice and see your face.
You know, it begs the question, how many unofficial podcasts are there out there of the Redeemer? It makes me wonder. If any of you are listening to any unofficial podcasts about the Marian Servants of the Redeemer, stop immediately and only listen to this one, the official
podcast. Those are
podcast.
Not sanctioned. Those are not sanctioned.
Oh, the eye rolls are starting early
tonight.
Oh, yeah,
start the eye roll counter, folks.
Ding, ding, ding. All
right. For those of you keeping track at home.
And also with us is Holly Novotny. Holly, how are you?
I'm doing well, Javier. Happy to be here. And really excited to welcome Marianne Henchy, who is the director of the Marian Servants of the Visitation in Hammond, Louisiana. And she's also coordinator for the regional. There are many Marian Servants communities in the Louisiana area. And Marianne, we're happy to have you here with us tonight.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. I'm delighted to be with you.
So it's really nice to have a Marian Servant I've met before. And I think we met over at the convocation, was it now three years ago?
Two
years ago. So it's always nice to have a familiar face, because when you and I were talking over texting, I didn't have a face to the name. I couldn't remember that your name was Marianne, but now that I see your face, I recognize you. So very cool.
Yes.
So for those listening, we do have a video component here, right? So we're actually getting to watch Marianne, and she's watching us as we're gathered around our dining room table.
Right, which is devoid of drinks, Adam. What's up with that?
Well, it's Friday.
Oh, is this a new thing? I didn't know this. Well,
no, it's Friday is just always, besides just a day of abstinence, just a day of, in general, of
got it.
Sacrifice.
I didn't know that, so, that you guys were doing that. Okay.
So, cool. Well, I didn't realize you were going to call it out on the air, but because normally, yes, we do have a beverage to help us relax, but it is Friday, which is why I didn't offer you anything when you got here.
But our hospitality should not interfere.
We should have. Our
asceticism.
We could have offered him some water at least. We didn't even. We offered you nothing tonight.
A nice warm smile when I came in. That was very good. Although I will say, Holly didn't even open the door for me.
Like, no, we unlocked it.
She
for
just
you.
Saw me come in and I like, cracked it up, and the guy was like a dog or something.
Oh, I thought.
You know, let him in.
Wow. Well.
Now, to be fair, I opened the door and then I was in the dining room setting up equipment.
That's fine. I'm totally joking.
So anyway, the point is there is no unofficial sponsor tonight because it's a Friday, which is typically a day that Holly and I try to have sacrifice. And giving up alcohol feels like a sacrifice every time. So
that's
just me.
That's okay. Well, all right. Well, I think we'll just kind of get right into it. We don't have any of our usual segments today. We don't have our church news. Although I was going to ask you guys about one thing, and we don't have to go deep into it if we don't know anything about it, but that's the new Fatima movie that was just released.
Yeah, we watched it.
You watched it?
We did.
Okay.
We did watch it.
We can talk about it.
We did.
Marianne, do you know about this movie, Fatima?
Yes, I know about it, but I have not seen it.
Well, we definitely recommend it. Check it out. It was very good. It's very well done.
I definitely will.
And we watched it because someone else told us how good it was. So we took, you know, from a trusted source, said they just watched it. And so like within 2 or 3 days of that recommendation, we sat down and watched it, and it's very good. And so I don't hesitate to tell others, hey, check it out. It's very good.
Okay. Well, that's a good recommendation. I have it on my list to watch. Where do you guys watch it? Is it on streaming somewhere or you have to buy it?
We watched it on Plex.
Okay.
Yeah, you have it, sir. Okay. We watched it. We got it from you on Plex.
Oh, okay. So. You know what? I think my sister got it. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, I'll have to check it out. I mean, the reviews are, I think, from what I've read, mixed depending on who's reviewing it, right? So like, you know, if you look at some of the Hollywood reviewers, they say it's okay, acting was pretty good, but it's kind of what they say is plodding, PLODDING, which maybe a little slow, I don't know. But probably not a lot of action in this movie, I'm assuming, right?
Not a lot of action, no.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, and also I don't know that the Hollywood types are really compelled to enter into the idea of the Blessed Mother appearing to children. And I think the nice part is even I didn't realize how what's the oldest girl's name?
Of the three?
Yes.
You have Francisco and Lucia and
Jacinta.
Jacinta. Yeah. So Lucia is the oldest.
Lucia is the oldest. Okay. But even just the way that her family reacted to her sharing the story of the Blessed Mother appearing to her, to all three of them, and that she had seen this angel, and she was really kind of cast out from, in the village, she was just kind of hated because they felt that she was making up the story, and who did she think she was? But there were outsiders just flocking to the town after hearing of the appearances, and it was just a compelling.
Yeah, this great juxtaposition of the town, the villagers who know her, who think she's lying and making this up, juxtaposed with people coming from outside, and as word is spreading and wanting to come see her and try to validate and find out if this is true, and kind of took it right away at face value, right. And they were calling them, you know, the seers. Hmm. So it did a nice job of really kind of presenting the struggle too, as opposed to just the sugar-coated version of how nice it was. Oh, you know, Mary appearing to these three peasant children, but right. There was a struggle for them.
Well, I mean, it's a film, right? So there's got to be some tension, and there was obviously real tension in the situation, like what you described. So it's good that they brought that out, and some of the actors I recognize, and I thought, wow, it's great. I like those guys, so I wanted to watch it just for some of them. So right. I have to definitely go check it out.
Yeah, well, Harvey Keitel is in it, and
the doctor who. The actor who played Luca on ER.
So if you're an ER fan, then you know the doctor.
I mean, that goes way back, but
oh, you know, he was also on a really cool time travel science fiction show.
Oh Lord, Javier, push up your glasses.
So getting back to Fatima.
Yeah, when you start talking like that, push up your glasses because the nerd's coming out.
But I think one of the things that I found most compelling about the movie, in terms of obviously I'm familiar with the story, but Lucia's very clear message that the Holy One was Jacinta. Like she herself, like I'm not the one who has courage because the younger two, they stuck to the story, but she was tempted to recant the story because of the pressure from her family.
Interesting.
And she even was in the church praying and imploring the Blessed Mother for forgiveness because she had been tempted to say, no, I just made it all up. So I thought it was a beautiful film. It was well made, like very quality, as opposed to some Christian movies are maybe lacking. But this was really beautiful. The way they handled the turning of the sun, that miracle of the sun, which happened the last apparition, that was terrifying, and I think it conveyed probably what the experience was of all the people there.
Spoiler alert, Holly gives it all away there. No, I'm kidding. It's part of this. Everybody knows that's part of the story there. So,
well, maybe they don't, and well, now
they,
I did.
They do now.
So. That qualifies for eye roll can't.
Well, we're not really giving away because it is well known and well documented that there was some 70,000 people there at the last apparition as news spread throughout the area. And so 70,000 people were there on October 13th at the last apparition, and there was a miracle of the sun And all the everybody there witnessed it. Everybody witnessed the sun moving, and that's historically documented, because there was so many people there that day. And so the movie does a nice job of depicting what that was like for all those people there.
I think there's a lot of really dramatic and exciting stories that could be told from a lot of the Marian apparitions, not just the physical manifestations of what's happened, but also like those stories, you know, like you were saying, you know. I guess this is a question for Marianne. Do you have any particular like devotions or any particular like passions or love for any of the apparitions of Mary?
Well, I was blessed enough to make it to Medjugorje. I don't know that one's sanctioned by the church, but my husband went first, and he was so deeply touched and converted that he wanted to go back. So he and I went together, and we actually saw the miracle of the sun. So as it happens there, and that was quite special. And being a Marian servant, I've enjoyed getting to know a little bit more about some of the other apparitions just through reading, but that's the only one I've personally experienced.
Wow. Well, describe that a little more just for those people who may not understand what you're saying when you talk about, you know, when you talk about the miracle of the sun. So just describe that a little bit.
Well, on a regular day, I cannot look up at the sun because it's so bright that I would be squinting. But when we looked up at the sun and saw the miracle, we were able to continuously gaze without blinking at the sun, without it in any way feeling unnatural. But we did see the sun spin to the right, spin to the left, pulse inward, pulse outward. And the interesting thing was we'd be seeing the same thing at the same time. Do you see it going to the right? Do you see it going to, spinning to the left?
So that's pretty cool. That's pretty powerful. I mean, I've never, I know just a little bit about that particular event. But I think, like I was saying, the stories of her appearances to people and the miracles, you know, they harken back towards to the time when, you know, when Jesus was performing miracles. And to me, it's, you know, miracles are something that that can really be a catalyst to, you know, to draw people to the Lord. And they always say that miracles don't happen anymore, but we know that's not true. I mean, they're definitely still happening, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Heck, every time we get this thing up and running is a miracle.
With episode 18, miracle number 300 for us.
With the with the technological challenges, really, it's a miracle every time, Javier.
I know. So let's talk a little bit about the Marian servants, because you were talking about how a Marian, since you've been a Marian servant, you've had a chance to read more about Mary. But how did it all start? Let's go back to the beginning. And how did it all start when, in terms of how you got connected with the Marian servants?
I got connected because of the School of Spirituality. I went there to get certified as a spiritual director, and had never heard of the Marian servants. And I didn't really quite understand what they were there that first year. I was just on such a personal healing journey and revelation of blind spots. But when I went back the second year, I understood a lot better of the community and who they were and what they did. And went home and joined a community in Baton Rouge. So I was a member of the Baton Rouge community for several years, and that's about an hour's drive from my small town in Hammond. And I think it was probably my third year for commitment day when we were given a sheet to sort of do some self-reflection, and one of the items said something to the effect of, "And how are you using your leadership skills for the community?" And I knew then, oh, this is absolutely the Lord speaking to my heart without a doubt, telling me that I have leadership qualities, and that community obviously had a leader, so that maybe God was calling me to discern if there was going to be a community I was to lead in my own area.
So how far was that community from where you were living?
An hour.
An hour? Is that what you said?
Not far at all, only an hour's drive. But when I first started spiritually directing, there were about a half a dozen people that I directed after the first year through the individual Ignatian exercises, which is they met with me once a week individually for a 9-month period. But there were several times within that 9-month period that I gathered the six of them together to share what was happening with them and their prayer. I'd give them like a little day of reflection together. Well, that was really a little bit calculating and manipulating because I knew they were going to love that sharing with one another. So when they finished the 9 months, they were, as I expected, very disappointed that they were no longer going to be getting together and sharing faith, which was my segue into, well, why don't you consider coming to these meetings? And then I called their spouses, and so doubled the number, but I told their spouses, I said, they're going to be learning about something and you might want to be interested in knowing what they're doing. So just come and see what they're up to. And Frank and I started hosting these meetings monthly in our home. And Frank, being Mr. Hospitality, was so excited to be able to cook a meal for them every month and just sit on the side and watch the meeting because he was definitely not called to be a Marian servant, but he liked being there. And so at the end of the year, we went on a retreat with the community in Macomb, and they were going to meet with Father Bill Henry there, and he was going to help the husbands, especially these men, discern whether or not they were called to be Marian servants. And Frank happened to hear it from the Holy Spirit that he was being called not so much even as he thought he needed to receive, but maybe the Lord was calling him instead to come and give. Well, it ended up being both, but at that point, that's what he heard the Lord say to him. And as he felt that conviction that he was called to be a Marian servant, he shared that with the other men. He said, "And I believe you're called to be one, and I believe you're called to be one." And as he pointed across the room, they all said, "Okay." And so that was the beginning of our community. We had about six couples discerning in the beginning and another maybe half a dozen people.
Wow.
And so the constituency has changed over the years. Some have come, some have gone, some committed, some didn't. But we've had close to 20 people since 09, I guess, is when we first got started.
Wow. So master recruiter over here. That's excellent. I mean, there's a lot of boldness there. There's a lot of faith there. I guess I'm really curious then. I mean, what drew you into it? And I know you said that you encountered the Marian servants at the School of Spiritual Direction, but what was it about the Marian servants that made you say, this is what the Lord is calling me to do?
Well, Javier, you know, what I knew then and what I know now are different. So mostly it's hard to remember where I was at that moment. But as the years went by, I was able to say to myself, it's exactly my heart's deepest longing to be part of a group of people who were as serious as I was in growing in their faith and growing in holiness, people who would be committed, not just waiting for me to host another Bible study, and they might come or they might not. In a few months, they'll be moving into the next direction. So I loved that idea that there were deeply committed people in for life.
So would you say that, prior to you going to the School of Spiritual Direction and then and beginning on along this path, you obviously were at a point in your faith where you were very strong in your faith and you had a strong belief in the Lord. How has being in the Marian servants, how has that changed your belief, your faith, you know, your relationship with the Lord?
Well, I'm not sure if this is exactly what you're asking or not, but I had a master's in theology that I got from Loyola University in New Orleans, and I did it gradually. I did it over a 5-year period. So I felt like I had a lot of head knowledge there. But I went to that first time to be trained for 2 weeks in the summer in Clearwater, Florida, to the School of Spirituality. And I grew more spiritually in those 2 weeks than I had in the 5 years I was pursuing that academic knowledge. And that was such a life changer for me, a lot of healings. Like I said, a lot of blind spots were revealed. One of the most tangible things that it took me a couple of years to realize was that I had been walking around with a sort of a low-grade intermittent depression. And when it was lifted, I didn't realize that I'd had it to begin with, so I didn't realize that that's what was different. But I kept saying, something's different. It's like, things are okay now. I keep waiting for the other shoe to fall or the other foot to drop, and it never did. And finally I realized, well, I guess this is the way my life gets to be now, free of depression.
Amen.
That's so just nice. So Yay. Wonderful.
That's so nice.
That phrase, something's different, I think that's the show title, because I think that is something that is sort of a marker for our Christian living, right? I mean, when people look at us as Christians and they begin to know us and we interact with them, that's one thing that they notice, that we're just a little bit different, right?
Oh, well, that's for sure.
Right?
Some of us a little more different than others.
But wait, hold on. What are you trying to say there?
Oh, well, believe me, I'm pointing at myself there. But no, I know what you mean. Yes.
And I was talking to my wife, I guess it was just a couple of days ago, and we were talking about our stories, where we came from and, our faith journey, whatever. And, we both had the same idea that for us, there was a clear point where we were one way and now we were a different way, right? And for some Christians, it's very, very gradual. But then, like you were saying, Marianne, you could look back and see that growth. And for others, it's like a conversion, like Paul, right? Instantaneous. And so it's great that we have just this blessing that we can say, that was the old me, and this is the new me, and it's all because of the grace and of the Lord,
For some people, it's Paul getting knocked off their horse, and other people, it's on the road to Emmaus, walking with Jesus, right, as he slowly explains himself.
Yeah,
but they're both true, authentic, experience, right, in terms of conversion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, tell us a little bit about your community there, in particular. You mentioned the size and the history of it, but what are some of the characteristics and charisms of your community?
Well, what I've kind of noticed in our area, because there are seven communities in Louisiana and Mississippi, and we've kind of laughed about it, that each one is a little different, and each one seems to take on a little bit of the personality of the director. So I'm not the most energetic person who is very active and very busy. So I have a community that's more middle of the road as far as activities go. There's other communities that run circles around us. But basically what we say is we have a prayer apostolate, that individually and as a community, we have a strong devotion to our daily prayer and interceding for others and getting together as community to pray and to praise God for our charismatic worship. So some of the things that we do where we show up in our community, every morning after daily mass, we stay this is pre-COVID, but we would stay and lead whoever was invite the community at morning mass to stay and pray morning liturgy of the hours with us. So we'd pray lauds together. And then in the evenings throughout the year, we do a variety of different prayer services after a mass on a weekend. And it might be, we just did one for Our Lady of Sorrows, where we brought different petitions. And the next one we have coming up will be what we call a patriotic prayer service. And in the past, when we would do these prayer services, the healing component would be very prominent, that we would have prayer teams scattered that people could come for individual prayer. And that was always very powerful, but for now we're not allowed to be in that close proximity. Mm-hmm. So that part is on hold. But I would say out of the 20 members in my community, we probably have, I think, 8 spiritual directors. So that is really a big ministry that we offer the area, one-on-one spiritual direction monthly for different individuals.
Pretty incredible, though.
And we do, yes. And like I said, we did the healing teams at our prayer service, and we also do individual healing appointments and prayer healing experiences.
So you were talking a bit about how COVID has impacted you guys. Tell us about what's your experience individually, but also as a community related to what's happening with COVID and how that's affected your community.
Well, the good news is Zoom. So we hold our weekly meetings on Zoom. And they're a little bit abbreviated just because it's a little wearying on the Zoom. But with all the components are there. We're still praying our rosary. We're still doing praise and worship. We are praying Vespers. We're doing either a teaching or a sharing. But the place where we used to do individual healing prayer, that's the component that's not part of our meetings. And that's the part that we all seem to really be missing, that human touch, that and the emotional, spiritual connection, and just the gift of healing and encouragement and hope that that brought individuals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's really the thing we most grieve. As far as our ministry of spiritual direction, that's going strong, but each director discerns with her individual directees whether they'll do it by phone or by Zoom or FaceTime. Mm-hmm. But that has not slowed down a bit. I have close to 20 directees, and I might have lost two or three directees that were uncomfortable meeting not in person.
That's a lot of directees. How many do you have, Adam?
Not 20.
Not 20. 20 yeah, sounds like a whole heck of a lot.
But Marianne is a pro.
Does not work.
She's a pro, and she's a tremendous. She's a wonderful teacher. She one of the reasons why I know her is because she continues to help at the School of Spiritual Direction, and I don't think that you were helping in June during the June sessions while I was there in the program. I think that I got to know you during the January sessions when I started coming to help after my own graduation. So, but she's a tremendous teacher too, and has a wonderful way of alliteration and bringing truths into an easy to remember way. You know, she has a way with words, and presenting the truth.
It's that double whammy that's always impressed me about all the Marian servants that I've met, including the stories I've heard about your dad, in that there's this very, very strong theological truths, right? But then paired with that very personal aspect of you know, allowing Christ to move in your heart and in your daily life, which is exactly what Marianne was saying earlier, that drew her into, you know, the Marian servants, which because they had that beautiful pairing, which is, I think, is really nice, which is why I decided finally to become a candidate of, you know, an official candidate.
Woo! Yeah. Cue the applause.
Cue something there.
Finally.
Yes.
We're delighted.
No, it's great. So
I do want to say, if those who are listening to this and those of you who may be spiritual directors and you're listening to this and you're thinking, I don't have 20 directees. So just a few episodes ago, we didn't recommend a 7-minute rosary, right? While it's possible, it's not recommended. And don't feel guilty if you're a spiritual director and you don't have 20. You know, that is not a benchmark. That is not, to each his own.
Well, and not everybody's called to that. So
right. That's and Marianne, true. You can do it. Obviously, just based on your current, you know, station and status in life, right? And you have the freedom to
exactly,
be able to schedule
that. Retirement age, I do it.
And God bless you for it, because it's a wonderful need. And so the fact that you're able to minister to 20 people is wonderful. But that is a lot. That is not like a goal number for spiritual directors to consider.
There's not like a chart somewhere on the Marian Servant website.
Yes, right. Yes, if you're this old, you can have this many directees. No, yeah, but that is an impressive number. So.
Well, it's also interesting that there's. So on Twitter, on Catholic Twitter especially, there was recently a discussion about about spiritual direction in general, and who is qualified to give, you know, spiritual direction, and who should you go to. And even though there's great materials out there, not only from the Marian Servants and also the School of Spiritual Direction, Father Tim Gallagher, and a whole bunch of other people, it's still pretty much a common misconception that you should only go to a priest to receive spiritual direction. In fact, I had a conversation with a dear friend of mine just a week ago, and I suggested, hey, maybe you should think about seeing a spiritual director. He had some real things that he wanted to work through in terms of, you know, his, you know, work, walk with the Lord. And his answer was, I don't think now the priests are doing that. I'm like, well, you should, there are other options, you know? And he said, nah, I don't think that's the way that's going to work out. I don't think that lay people really should be doing that. And it was just, I got to figure out how to get that word out. Maybe we should do a whole episode just on what spiritual direction is and
what it is, what it's not, right? And what, yeah, well, that's, yeah, okay.
Let's do it.
Episode 21.
Or right? 19.
Well, no, 19. Well, I mean, I guess we'll announce that at the end.
18.5. We'll just keep going tonight.
I think just my immediate response there to your friend is that the desert fathers and the desert mothers were not priests. They were lay people. Mm. And they attracted others to them for guidance in their spiritual lives because of the way that they lived their life. And I think that's what we've discovered, both just having been through the School of Spirituality, but also continuing to help and serve there, is that we just meet all kinds of people, priests, deacons, religious, lay men and women, married, single, and that there's something beautiful about the Lord calling all these people from all these different walks of life within the church to minister to his body in a way that does require sensitivity and a genuine love for the Lord and trust in his power. Because the truth is, it's not about what I say in that spiritual direction session. And I will say that even today, it's really funny, Marianne, even today in a conversation with somebody who is in the January school session, brought up when you and I did a spiritual direction together and you directed me in front of the class. And somebody just this morning mentioned that and what a powerful experience it was for them to see it and how they just appreciated, because it's hard to know how to approach certain the way that you listen, the way that you handle if somebody brings something forth that's painful. But Marianne is a real pro, and there was something really big that kind of came out, and she just handled it with such laser focus on the area that needed the Lord's ministry there. It was because she was able to listen to the Lord. And it wasn't about her thinking that she had the answer. And she and I have talked about this even afterwards, because it was a really powerful experience for me. And I thought, wow, I don't think she knew some of these things about me. And she said, I didn't. This, you know, I kind of went there because that's where the Lord seemed to be leading. And I think that that's the thing about spiritual direction, right? That it is, it requires that personal touch, but it requires, like you said, in this community, living in and praying with the Marian Servants, that you grow together and that you do have this very specific focus on your personal prayer life, that is really critical, that everything else flows out of your relationship with the Lord.
Hmm. So there's a lot of things that... Go ahead, Marianne. Go ahead. Yes. Excuse me.
I was going to say, I had a personal experience for 10 years before I became a Marian Servant. A lovely priest, wonderful man, was my spiritual director. But as soon as I went to the School of Spiritual Director, I ended up with a laywoman who was a graduate of the School of Spirituality, who was trained in Ignatian spirituality, as we are, of course. And the growth that started happening in my life, the conversion experiences were astronomical. I didn't realize that just having a priest who really didn't have the training to go sit and listen and talk, and I wasn't making any progress. So the fact of him being a priest was not especially a blessing in my personal conversion as it was having a person who was trained in the rules of Ignatian discernment that could guide me in those ways as that authority.
Yeah. A couple things I want to offer because, you know, some people are listening and you know, haven't been to the school or you know, maybe considering wanting to find a spiritual director or, you know, just listening to this in general. Spiritual direction obviously is typically one-on-one, very personal, very private, right? The director is accompanying the directee. The dynamic that Holly is describing is, you know, in the school, you go down into the school and in order to understand and appreciate what authentic and good spiritual direction looks like, they model it. They're in the school and they'll do sessions. They'll do, you know, you can actually sit in and watch a live, you know, spiritual direction session, which is unusual, right? Because you never, if it weren't for the school, because again, because spiritual direction is so personal and private and one-on-one, you never really get a chance to unless you just go to a spiritual director yourself, you don't really get to see what it looks like, right? So the school brings in, you know, qualified directors, and then they do, you know, live mini spiritual direction sessions in front of the students so they can see what it looks like. And so what Holly's describing is this interaction that she had as the directee and Marianne is the director with the students getting to watch, you know, what authentic spiritual direction might look like. And the beauty is that this works because what we found is if you follow the model, whether there's people watching you, you know, whether it's your first time meeting someone, whether it's, you know, someone you know, or whatever the dynamic might be, if you follow the model of listening, you know, actively listening, reflecting back, looking for the movement of the Holy Spirit and affirming the person, that it, you know, it just gives room for the Holy Spirit to move even in this dynamic of you know, 40 people, you know, watching this very personal experience. And hats off to the volunteers who will go up in front of the students and are willing to be vulnerable, because you really are, you know, in a position of vulnerability there as you are having a true and authentic spiritual direction session. So I did want to give that some context. The other thing is, I think you're right, there probably is an entire episode that we could unpack in terms of spiritual direction, but I just want to offer a few comments because you mentioned it, right? So the first thing that came to my mind was the papal document, you know, Christi Fidelis Laici, right, on the role of the laity. And that's this beautiful document basically just says, you know, laity, come on, step up. And kind of having permission and recognizing that right now there is a role and a call of the laity. And there's nothing within the church that says that spiritual directors can only be priests. If the church said that, we would be obedient and we would listen, and we wouldn't ourselves be spiritual directors. But the church has never said that, never held that position, and never even considered that that was a position, that only spiritual directors should be priests. Like, to Holly's point, there have been plenty of wise men and women. St. Francis is a perfect example of not a priest. And I'm sure those brothers who were with him probably loved getting spiritual direction. I'm sure he gave them incredible nuggets and great pearls of wisdom. So the church certainly doesn't take the position that spiritual directors can only be priests. And we're living in this time now where the laity is needed all the more. And spiritual direction really is just about accompanying and companioning with someone. And who better to do that than if you're the laity, and who better to walk with you too, right, and accompany you with the laity, as the laity. So those are just two things I wanted to mention really quick, right? That you know, from a church standpoint, it's perfectly okay, it's permissible and encouraged, you know, again, because this wonderful document, right, that I just said on the role of the laity in terms of the laity being actively involved, and it's very effective. It can be very, the model we learn is makes it, you know, anybody can do this.
I think part of the misconception is that they're perceiving it as they're receiving something from the director, right? Like other sacraments, right? You're receiving these sacraments, and the person administering these sacraments is the priest. So you go to confession, right? And you're talking to him. He's giving you this thing, right? So that's the idea, that you're going there to get something from that person. But the reality is that that person is just leading you to get something on your own from the Lord, right?
Because the Holy Spirit is the prime director.
Right.
That's the key point in all
prime
this.
Prime director.
Is that the Holy Spirit is the prime director. Yeah, there's another title too, right? And we're just there, and you know, with the person, right, with the directee, accompanying the directee, but we try to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit really do the directing.
Right. So we got a lot that we could go off on that. That sounds like a lot of rich material for a whole podcast.
Yes.
So
yeah,
that's great. So thank you for listening to this episode of Redeemer. You can find links to all that we've talked about on today's show right in the show notes on the website at numinous.fm/redeemer, or in your favorite podcast player. We'll have links to the document that Adam mentioned. And is there anywhere that we should point the people to your community, Marianne? Do you guys have a website or a Facebook or anything like that?
No, we're connected through the Our Lady Divine Providence website. Okay.
And if there happens to be a random person in your neighborhood that wants to learn about your community, is there a way I can get you in touch with them, or should we just go through the website for the...
Yes. Oh, no, absolutely. All they have to do is call Holy Ghost Church in Hammond, Louisiana. Holy Ghost Church.
Holy Ghost Church in
We'd
Hammond.
We'd love Louisiana. To hear from anyone. Yes.
Excellent.
And they'll have all the information on my contact. Yes. Isn't that a great name?
It is. It's very cool. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. If you have comments or questions about spirituality, about spiritual direction, about the Marian servants, you can send us to redeemer@numinous.fm. And you can also find Redeemer on Facebook at facebook.com/Marian Servants Redeemer. I think that wraps us up for today. Adam, thanks so much.
Thank you. I do just want to say that, thank you, Marianne, for saying yes. And particularly please send our love to everyone, all the communities there in Mississippi and Louisiana. Holly and I had the privilege of being together with all of them in February, pre-COVID, before things shut down. We were lucky enough to go down and be with all of them for their commitment day, which was a real delight and a pleasure. So we send all our love to everybody, all the Marian servants down there in Mississippi and Louisiana.
Shout out.
That's right.
Amen.
And Holly, thanks again for everything on this episode.
Thank you, Javier. And Marianne, thank you so much. It's very good to see your face and to have a little conversation.
Yes, it's been wonderful.